Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We're live today from the Drive for Dinger Celebrity Golf Tournament, the 7th annual here in Franklin at the Vanderbilt Legends Club. It's a two-day event. There's a silent auction and maybe some music and a dinner tomorrow at Embassy Suites Cool Springs. And it's all benefiting the Mills for Health and Healing program. You can learn more at hfmills.org. Speaking of golf, Austin Price of VolQuest.com is playing Valhalla later this afternoon. Very jealous of that. Austin, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. You guys?
Tell us about your day on the course coming up later today.
Yeah, I'll be off here in about an hour and 25 minutes. And,
name dropper.
Luckily, a nice, nice man who is a VolQuest member decided to take me out here to Valhalla today, and hopefully I won't lose too many balls, whether it be in the hay or in the water.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com, with us for our VolQuest report here on the Midday 180. What does the addition of Brandon Kennedy do for the Tennessee offensive line this season?
Gives them a lot of depth. It gives them options. You know, you look at where they're at. They were, you know, decent in the spring compared to the fact that they didn't have Trey Smith and some other pieces. But when you know, if Tennessee's offensive line is able to add Brandon Kennedy, Trey Smith, and then Chance Hall, what does that do for that group? I mean, you know, Chance Hall, I mean, I still think there's a ways to go for him to get healthy enough to play. But, you know, it's still something he's targeting, wanting to get done. Trey Smith, from everybody I've talked to, still on pace, and then you add Brandon Kennedy, who is enrolled in second session summer school and already in Knoxville. Tennessee's offensive line goes from being below average to, I think, being formidable. I mean, you know, they're not going to be world beaters, but I think that they can get the job done. The quarterbacks, I said this on the VolQuest podcast today, the quarterbacks have to feel like, you know, hey, we got a bonus there. It gives us, you know, an extra half second, you know, whatever you want to call it. I mean, there's just some added protection there, but it gives some options because Brandon Kennedy can play center, can play guard. So same thing with Ryan Johnson, can play center, can play guard. You've got guys that can play multiple positions now, and you're not so hamstrung if you get a key injury.
And you mentioned both positions. Do you think they have a preference on which position they'd like him to earn and play?
I think they would love for him to be the starting center and be able to play Ryan Johnson in guard. But if, you know, if they feel like if they get in 2 weeks into fall camp and feel like he's more, you know, of a factor at guard and Ryan Johnson needs to be the center, then I think they're willing to go that route as well. So, like I said, it gives them options, but I think they would love to start him out at center. But I think they're just happy to have another healthy body that has, you know, he's not played it for Alabama, but he's competed. And I think that can go a long way because, you know, the way they compete down at Alabama and the players he's went up against daily in practice have prepared him for this opportunity that he'll have this fall at Tennessee.
In recruiting, Kavaris Crouch has been a name that we have discussed a lot with you. Five-star athlete from Charlotte, and he is visiting yet again, making his third trip to Knoxville just this year alone. Pruitt clearly has Crouch hooked, so how does he reel him in? What's been the keys when you've talked with him in the past?
Well, I think it's just the relationships that Quavaris has on this staff with Jeremy Pruitt, with Brian Niedermeyer, with Tyson Helton, with Will Shearer, with Kevin Shearer. You know, I think ultimately that's what he really has bought into are the people. At the end of the day, though, you know, Quavaris Crouch is going to have to see Tennessee make some strides on the field this fall and getting Brandon Kennedy and getting Trey Smith back and seeing if they can find a quarterback, and all those things will play into that. But if they can win enough this fall, then I think Tennessee will have every bit as good a chance as anybody of landing Quavaris Crouch. He was in town. He got in town Wednesday night and then left last night. And so he's back at home in Charlotte, but had about a day on Rocky Top. And, you know, from talking to people, things went just like they always do very well with Quavaris Crouch.
Now let's go to quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, Tua's younger brother. He's also visiting Rocky Top. Give us the details on the background between him and Pruitt's staff, and will Alabama get him on campus this weekend as well?
Well, he was on Rocky Top for Junior Day back in February, March, and liked Coach Pruitt and them a lot. Ultimately, ended up picking Alabama, which is no shock with Tua being at Alabama. But Tennessee's current commitments, Tennessee's coaches have continued to work Tua. Hope to get him back on campus, today and part of tomorrow. But yeah, Alabama's gonna try to get him back down there as well. And you expect him to visit. I mean, his brother's there, and he's extremely close with that coaching staff as well. But Tennessee's not going to go quietly on this one. They like him a lot, and with other quarterbacks coming off the board, Zach Calzada committing to Texas A&M yesterday, they need to try to firm up somebody in this 2019 class, because they need the depth at the position, not knowing what will happen with the quarterback race this fall and the dominoes that could fall depending on who wins it.
How will the new redshirt rules help this Tennessee roster this season? How can that potentially help Pruitt as he pieces together his first season with the Vols?
Well, I'll go back 2 years ago. Marcus Tatum had to play one game when Tennessee's offensive line was beat to pieces against Alabama. And, if this was in place then he plays, and he still gets to redshirt that year, even though, he played a game and that late in the year. I think it'll help this staff, and it'll help a lot of staffs be able to figure it out. All right, we'll throw out player X, player Y, against these lower level teams early in the year. How do they do? Do we feel like they can help us, going forward? If not, you shut them down, you redshirt them. If you think they can help you, you keep playing them. Or late in the season, a guy like Ollie Lane, who's gotten better and better and better, or Greg Emerson, who's gotten better over the course of the season running the scout team, you feel like he can help you with depth, with some reps, with a series or two. You can throw him in there late in the year against a Missouri or Kentucky and won't have to burn his red shirt, but it could potentially help you near the end of the year and into the bowl game. So I think that it not only helps Tennessee, but I think it helps every team kind of evaluate each player in a game type situation without having to burn a red shirt. I think it's a great move for the student athlete.
Yeah, I agree. And every program will have stories like this to point to over the last couple of months. But how upset must Will McBride and Riley Locklear be, knowing that this rule was passed about 7 months after they played in two games and lost a year of eligibility?
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt about it. Now, you look back at Marcus Tatum, he blew that one game, 2 years ago. But last year, he played in four games, but the way that it was structured, he's going to get a red shirt back because Tennessee's previous staff chose not to play him the last couple of games, even though he could have played, so he could red shirt. So they were able to get that 1 year back for him, so to speak. And, for McBride, Locklear, I mean, it's a blow. I think more so for Will McBride than maybe Riley Locklear, because, McBride, if you end up leaving the program, if you don't transfer down, then you're going to have to sit out a year, and that clock just dwindles faster and faster with the eligibility.
Follow Austin on Twitter, @AustinPriceless. Hit him in the fairway today, Austin.
We'll try, my man. You guys have a good one, okay?
Good luck.
Yeah, talk to you Monday. Austin Price joins us twice a week right here for the VolQuest Report on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy.